Jim Taylor visiting with Mark Gentry. He is the president of a group representing regional superintendents across Illinois, the Illinois Association of Regional Superintendents of Schools. And we open our conversation today with Mr. Gentry. How concerned should we continue to be about this continued teacher shortage in Illinois? You've done another survey, and some of the findings are a little bit alarming, specifically for those of us in downstate Illinois.
It really is. You know, for our central and southern Illinois communities, especially our rural communities, it's getting harder and harder to find licensed, qualified teachers to fill a number of positions, especially at our secondary level, are becoming more and more challenging. Foreign language, speech and social worker, school psychologist, as well as special education are just becoming more and more challenging to find because we've got fewer people that are going into the profession. And then when we do get some people into the profession, they don't necessarily stick in the profession after 3 to 5 years. So it is alarming, and we've got a lot of work to do to try to reverse the tide.
And why do you think that is, in terms of, one, those individuals not wanting to get into the profession, and two, those individuals that don't want to stay in the profession?
For those that don't want to stay in the profession, I'll take that second one first. I think a lot has to do with the supports that we don't have in place for them. And when I talk about supports, it's mentoring and induction. We, you know, the state used to fund a mentoring program that helped compensate veteran teachers to provide that mentoring and support to those beginning teachers to help them through those difficult parts that they don't have experience in and work through. And so, you know, that particular funding has gone away, and we need to restore that and restore that program in order to better serve our inexperienced, our younger teachers so that they'll stick in the profession and stay. As to, you know, the larger question, there's a number of factors of why people aren't going into the profession. I think one that we have to acknowledge is that, you know, No Child Left Behind introduced standardized testing as the end-all be-all of how we were going to evaluate how well or how poorly our schools were doing. And with that came the pressure on teachers to have their students perform well on a standardized test at one point in the year. And so a lot of teachers became disenfranchised with that. They felt like that was diminishing their value. And so you have individuals that just decided that wasn't a route that they were going to go down. Another factor, and it's especially true in our rural communities and our downstate communities, is the starting pay. Starting pay in central and southern Illinois is lower than it is in, the northeast corner of the state. And so when you do have individuals coming out of college prep programs, if they don't necessarily have an affinity or an attachment to the communities that they came from, then they're going to probably look to go to where the highest starting compensation and therefore the most money they can make over the course of their career. And then finally, I think the third area that really is a concern is that fewer candidates are able to successfully complete all the course requirements, especially the test requirements to become a teacher in their college courses. And so we have to look at how we're doing that and see if we can better assist those individuals in becoming successful and getting out into the field.
And that's a lot to digest. There's no question about that. And trying to reverse that, I think the other alarming trend that I see, and I can speak as it relates locally in the western portion of the state, more than 60% of districts report a serious problem with substitute teacher shortages. That's a big issue, too. So you're dealing with one, you know, the regular classroom day-to-day teacher, but then two, when you have a classroom teacher that is ill or can't make class, you're struggling to find a replacement for that individual. That's like a double whammy, isn't it?
It really is. You know, as recently as a couple of years ago, it would cost you a couple hundred dollars to get licensed to be a substitute teacher, and that was prohibitive to many people in our rural communities. And so the General Assembly recognized that. We made recommendations that they reduce the fee and make it easier for people to get that license, or at least less expensive. Another thing that we suggested is a short-term substitute license. previously you had to possess a bachelor's degree or already have a teaching certificate in order to be eligible to be licensed as a sub. But last year the General Assembly introduced a provision at our urging that would allow you to get a short-term substitute license if you only had 60 hours of coursework or an associate's degree. And that has started to increase our pool significantly in many parts of the state. But we need to continue to look at what other strategies there are to assist with that. And honestly, at the end of the day, it's always an economic decision that underlies a lot of this, how much our district's paying individuals to come and sub. And, you know, that's a balancing act, not unlike the big salary for a beginning teacher. You would love to pay people more, but where are the dollars going to come from? And absent, you know, additional state supports, hopefully the state will continue to fund the evidence-based model and pump more money into it. But absent that, you know, then the challenge is relying on local property taxes increases to try to fund those additional needs. And nobody's, you know, real excited about that idea.
Yeah, I know this is, the fourth year you've done this, that the Illinois Association of Regional Superintendents of Schools, and it looks like each year the situation is not getting better, but it's getting worse. So what are some of the bullet points in terms of trying, you talked a little bit about mentoring, I think, one of the ideas to kind of try to reverse this trend or stem the tide.
Sure. A couple things. One, certainly the mentoring in order to keep those that successfully obtain their license to stay in the profession. I think more and more our communities are going to have to look to grow your own. And what we mean by grow your own is if a district can identify, especially in our smaller districts, can identify retirements, positions that are going to eventually become available in the relatively near future, if they can identify their own students who have an interest in the profession of teaching and especially at the secondary level, potentially that particular content area, they need to look at some strategies to try to foster that interest, give them opportunities to get real practical experience, even while they're in high school, at least getting exposed to the teaching profession, and then potentially explore, is the district going to potentially assist in the cost of their college work in exchange for them coming back and teaching in the district for a defined period of time. I think that's a way to look at it. Additionally, I think we've got to look at what are all the requirements to become a teacher. Do we need to make adjustments to keep people in? And then finally, I think another big one is we have individuals that are in the private sector in business that maybe are looking to come and enter the education field and become a teacher. We need to look at what are the barriers for them and maybe break down some of the ones that are a little unreasonable in terms of the amount of time that might be required for them to get coursework in order to come into the field and assume those roles where they certainly have the content expertise and maybe can obtain the classroom management and instructional strategies shorter period of time.
Yeah, I guess the other kind of telling thing when I looked at the press release that your group was able the information they've been able to disseminate, again, we're talking about 85% of districts identifying a major or minor problem with teacher shortages in their schools, up from 78% in 2018. But it said, one of the bullet points then later, in contrast, districts overwhelmingly report few problems in finding qualified administrators for their schools. Nearly 70% of school districts report no problems with administrator shortages, and only 5% consider it a problem. Now people will ask, now, why is that? We have a problem finding teachers, but really no problem finding administrators. Why do you think that is? Is it just a pay issue with that, or is it just basically kind of a quantity issue with the number of administrators that are available out there?
Well, I would say it's a little bit of both. You know, your administrators come from the teaching ranks, so as they move into the teaching ranks, if you're not replenishing that teaching supply, that's kind of where the challenge comes in. Yeah, administrators do make more, but I will tell you that's where we're at right now, but I I am, you know, just slightly concerned around the administrative pool going forward, in that I think we're going to start to see a diminishment in that population in terms of available people over the next 10 years, because fewer people are going into the administrative preparation programs. Fewer teachers are doing that. And when you have fewer teachers, obviously we have the shortage there. You've got that many fewer candidates that are going to potentially look at becoming a principal and then ultimately a superintendent. So, you know, right now in the short term, it's not an issue. But I will say, I do know that districts are choosing from a smaller principal applicant pool than they were 15, 20 years ago, and they are certainly choosing from a much smaller superintendent pool than they were even 10 years ago. So while it's not perceived at the district level as a problem yet, I think that's the next one that we're going to be dealing with if we don't also look at making some changes relative to those preparatory programs.
All right, talking with, again, Mark Gentry, the president of the Illinois Association of Regional Superintendents of Schools. And I was thinking about this when I was setting up this interview. I know, I can't remember what it was, maybe about a month ago, we had local state representative on talking about the number of missed days in our area of the state this year. I think it's at 13. And this is an outlier year. There's no question about that. I mean, this is it's not going to happen every year. But you know, you lose 13 days. So we talk about how can you make up those days? Can you ever consider accessing maybe something like e-learning where students can learn from home? And the question then becomes, well, what is the rural broadband service like in a lot of these rural areas? Well, a lot of the people in the rural areas that are listening will say, Taylor, it's terrible. That's why we can't have e-learning. Yeah. But I look at that type of issue is a perfect segue as it relates to this teacher shortage area. And you told me you grew up in Chenoa, which is a consolidated district. I'm calling from Aledo, which is a consolidated district now between Aledo and Westmoor, which is the Mercer County School District. So the e-learning potential to solve this, now in terms of we know we need the rural broadband or the e-connectivity to get much better in rural areas, and I know the new Department of Ag director keeps talking about that, John Sullivan. Do you think that's an opportunity where if you could look at some type of shared co-op arrangement, we hear about it a lot in athletics, but in terms of this e-learning where you factor in maybe multiple schools, and then I even think about utilizing some of these community colleges that are well positioned around the state of Illinois. Is that an avenue you think that is worth exploring if you can get the rural broadband issue corrected?
It is. We actually have some districts in the region I serve that are sharing courses across high schools because one high school doesn't have the appropriate teacher with certification to deliver the content, but between them and another school, they've got a teacher and a viable threshold of students in order to offer the class, and so they do it virtually through, in this case, teleconferencing between two classrooms. But that I use that to illustrate that yes, what you propose is something that we are going to have to look at, and I think it's something that is on the radar of community colleges and our high schools, because if you can get broadband established in our rural areas across the state, then you're going to open up more opportunities for those engagement with high school, secondary, as well as dual credit opportunities with our community colleges. So I do see that as an avenue to help stem this shortage, and it's something we have to be open to any number of avenues in order to best meet the needs of our kids in order to give them as the best possible 21st century education.
And as you look at the numbers, you look at it from kind of a micro assessment. I know you look at downstate, but there's a definite difference between, say, Normal West High School and, say, Colfax Ridgeview High School. in terms of just the dynamics. Do you sort it out that way in terms of a more rural school district concerning, you know, a downstate district like that, or is it basically just, you know, you're looking at downstate versus basically the collar counties in Chicagoland?
No, I think you make a fair point. You know, some of our more, for lack of a better term, metro areas downstate certainly aren't having as many or as acute of challenges around this shortage issue as are even some of their more rural counterparts, even in their own county. So that is, you know, that is an accurate reflection. So it's really more the challenge for our more rural districts across southern and central Illinois to try to be able to offer, you know, an adequate number of courses in order to prepare kids. And so to your point there, that does sometimes look like the larger urban districts actually working cooperatively with their rural counterparts within their county to meet the needs of those kids in terms of classes and programming.
All right, and you've done this for 4 years as we wrap up here again, talking with Mark Gentry, president of the Illinois Association of Regional Superintendents of Schools. So the wheels were in motion, apparently, because a lot of you and your colleagues were hearing issues regarding this. We're, you know, struggling to find teachers in a lot of downstate schools. So this is something that's on the radar in terms of we're going to look at this and really hit on this every year.
Yes, it is. You know, as you and I have been sitting here talking on this interview, I've got an email from a superintendent who can't find two pre-K teachers so for next year. And so this is continuing to be an issue. What we're really trying to keep this on the front burner for members of the General Assembly to try to address it with what are viable options. You know, not everybody's going to agree on every suggestion, but I think we have to have the discussion. But what we really want to do, try to do long term, is try to be able to acquire funding to do some real projections as to where districts might anticipate vacancies in the future. And we think we can do that if we get our hands on some data relative to teacher service records and how many years individual teachers have in districts, and try to help districts project where their vacancies are going to be long term, and then try to be strategic in trying to incentivize kids to go in, and adults for that matter, to go into those particular areas of the teaching profession so that we can better serve all of our communities. Sure.
All right, a lot to consider, and sir, we appreciate the time. Thank you for coming on to talk about this topic.
Thank you, Jim.
That's Mark Gentry. He is the president of the Illinois Association of the Regional Superintendents of Schools.